What a great way to start a new year, to get off like this, and in an inspiring, instructive atmosphere with like-minded people, to get some things sorted out and our heads straight for 1984. Those of you who have been previous conferences like this, particularly the last couple of years, know that Cliff Barrows has been our climaxing speaker. And as is so often the case, if you have someone like Chuck Swindoll or last year Joe Aldrich, I mean, who in the world can come along and put any frosting on the cake when you've had people like that? And Cliff Barrows has always rung the bell, won the cigar, or whatever you want to say. It's just been super. Cliff has rotated off our board for 1 year, but he has consented to be, you rotate off after your term for a year. He's consented to be reelected back on. So we expect to see Cliff and Billy Barrows here next year. And so I'm going to reserve the frosting on the clay, the cake, the climaxing kind of talk for Cliff Barrows. You'll have to wait a year for one of those. And this is the President's Conference. This is my time till a quarter to 12, so I'm a team man. I believe in cooperation, but I can do, and that won't be worth it, Rod, but I'll be delighted to do this.
You just never know, something very significant.
Yes, I might want to deny what I said, too. That's the other part of it. But I should be able to do with this hour what I want, and that's what I'm going to do. Really, I want to do three things. I want to just give you several highlights. We're going to review the notes for a moment. And then I'd like us to wind up our conference in small groups, the same groups that we've been, with whom you've been praying, to share what it is that some of the highlights of what God has said to you. Before I do that, someone asked, would you make it clear, do you have any financial needs? It sounds like everything is going great financially. And one of my other friends said, you people, like so many Christian workers, are so mealy-mouthed when it comes to the finances. I still am. But I would like to say this. We don't need to cry wolf. And I've said to somebody, we will never ask you for money that we don't need. And this conference is not a fundraising conference. It's a ministry conference. And if you want to know how, are there any needs and where are those needs, I'd say, first of all, in that big, those figures that Donald showed us, of the amount of gift income that it takes for the Navigator ministry to be sustained, I asked Rod on this, and it's well over 80% of that gift income comes as a result of staff members each raising their own personal support. So first of all, you're welcoming any of our staff that you meet or hear from that need help in their own regular personal support is the number one way that you can help in the Navigator ministry. And just a word about that. There are some of you in a position to hear from quite a few staff members. We've never figured out how to work that out. See, we don't have all, we don't raise it for them and then distribute it. They're responsible for their own. So we assume that those of you who are in a position to hear from a multiple number of staff members are also in a position to decide who you can help and with whom you'd have a special interest, and you can make your decision there. Sorry about that, but I don't know how to change that. But number one is your support, backing, and prayer of individual staff members as you hear of their need is a great thing. Over the next three-year period, the U.S. staff, if nothing else were done, would be about $8 million short. This is what Rod spoke of. You may have missed that. So Rod has been out and his staff in the areas helping the area people bring their personal needs up at least to 90% of budget. That all has to do with helping individual staff members. And we want to thank you for that and for your openness when such a need comes your way. Then, and the same with overseas missionaries, and we're seeking to help them, and there's a need there to bring them up to budget over the next 3-year period. Then the other aspect, where is the remaining funds, where do they come? Well, some of you, maybe most of you, would get a letter from Rod every so often about some particular need. The direct mail is how we make known that other 15 or 20%. Then there are along the line capital projects. And the board of directors will be considering several capital projects that we want to do. We need more housing on the Glen. We are thinking about proposing that we proceed with a new international headquarters office building that, where's Donald? What do we think that might cost at this stage? Do you have a guess?
We feel that it will cost at least $1 million.
Thank you. And there are other, I have here, some capital needs that are being considered and developed as we move along. And as those are approved and the detailed planning is worked out, then it's Rod's job to see who he thinks might be interested in that particular project. So that's the way it works. Is there any further question on that? Yes. Rod, the U.S. staff over the next 3 years, if nothing extra were done, we figured the aggregate of how much they would come short in their budgets would be about $8 million. That's right. So, Rod has been out there, as I say, with his staff all over the country, helping staff members to bring their budget up to at least 90%. Some have been operating for a long time, much less than that. That's right. There is a need in that area with our field staff. Now, of course, I think it varies in different areas depending upon whether Rod's been there recently or somebody's helped them. And some, of course, are better at fundraising than others. And some are more reluctant, etc. But that's part of what we're doing. And you're asking about the needs. Well, that's an area in which there are some. But you will hear about it by somebody coming to your section of the country about those personal needs. Anything you want to add on that, Rod, that I've said?
Well, I would say one of the things that we're currently working on is to finish up our Eagle Lake project. And so we're immediately working on raising another $60,000.
Mm-hmm. And on the Eagle Lake project, Rod tells me about a great portion of that financing for the new dining hall and meeting area has come from parents of those who've been at Eagle Lake Camp, and those are the ones that we have approached, I guess almost exclusively. And so that's the way it works. We try to figure out some people are more interested in this phase of things and others would be interested in another phase. And it's Rod's job to figure out, once it's approved and all the work's done, as to who might be interested in what, particularly for the large these larger capital projects. Okay? Now I thought, what is the best way to spend this last, now it's 30, 40 minutes? I don't think it's to add more information. Some of you said, well, I'm about up to here with information. So I'm thinking of James 1:22, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And we can pull the wool over our eyes by thinking that hearing is the same as doing, can't we? And if you are like I am, I hear something on evangelism, on how to get answers to prayer, and I get all excited about it, and in my mind I anticipate what it's going to like to be witnessing and what it's going to be like to praying and getting answers to prayer, but I have one thing left to do, the witnessing and the praying. So That's what I said. We're going to end this conference by thinking a bit about what are we going to do. Now, I want to just review a couple highlights for you. And then we're going to look at, you know, would you look at your notes. If you have them on paper or in your brain, either way, we'll take a little time on those. And then we're going to finalize our time in groups. I'd like to come back to the theme here first, fruitful branches. Dick Halverson pointed out in Matthew 28, the statement of the Great Commission there, that the command, the imperative is to make disciples, remember? He said the word go is a participle, going. As you go, wherever you are, make disciples. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't remember all the rules about everything to do. I remember one time I had simply accumulated in a week or two 10 rules for being a good citizen, 14 rules on how to be a good father, the 12 basic principles of managing anything, and I was another list. I remember it added up to 50-some items. And I thought to myself, I can't remember. I can't remember all those. And if I could sing like Dick Halverson could sing, I'd sing this. But I found myself walking across the glen, and I was just kind of confused with all the information I had gotten. And I just thought, well, it's just one thing. Be like Jesus. All day long. That's just one thing. Be like Jesus. And I thought, now, from what Dick was saying, it was a great reinforcement to this idea. My life ought to be, and its impact, the result of an overflow of what's in here that naturally comes out. That I don't have to haul out my notebook and see, now, what am I supposed to do in this situation? When I go overseas, for instance, and visit some of our countries, I was in Brazil in September, and I thought, I can't remember how to act right in Brazil. I don't know the culture. I know a couple of things to avoid. And I thought, well, I'm just going to be me. Hopefully a loving, real person. And see how that takes me around Brazil. It's too hard on me to try to remember how to act right. Well, you know, I thought, as you go, make disciples. As you are going, something that's natural, that just flows out. Well, how can you get something that just is an outflow? It's natural. Well, I thought, what about John 15:7? If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Abide in me, let the word of God abide in you, and pray. Then it says, here is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall be my disciples. Then I think we'll realize that what Dick is talking about is true. That as we just move through life, through the family, around the neighborhood, through business, you know, the water cooler, a chance contact here or there, there will be something that will make an impact of which we ourselves are probably unaware. I first heard it from Gene Ward. You take the responsibility for the depth of your life, and God will take the responsibility for the breadth of your ministry. Well, the breadth of your life, the depth has to do with abiding in Christ, His Word, abiding in you, and prayer. Well, I was thinking about what Ron Blue had to say about goal setting. How to set faith goals? He said, spend time with God, write down what it says, and make it measurable. Well, I thought there's some parallel there with John 15:7. If you're abiding in Christ, the Lord said, and my word is abiding in you, it's affecting your thinking, your value system, what you think to be important. Then you can ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. So I made a little note. I thought, well, John 15:7 fits there as well. Now, for those of you who have been around, you know about the navigator wheel. It was pictured on the front of your large brochure. And so I brought over one of the relics we have in the navigators out of the Navigator Museum. This is Doss Trotman's mechanical wheel that he first had made, and when he took his first trip overseas to China, to explain to people what he called the basic elements of the Christ-centered spiritual life, an obedient Christian in action. And of course, the first thing you have to do is that Christ has to be in the life. Now, John 15:7 says, if you abide in me, first step. Now, Dick gave us a great idea. He said each morning, he goes over Galatians 2:20. And I thought to myself, if you just take part of Galatians 2:20, each morning as you start your quiet time, I live by faith in the Son of God. Just that much. And make it an affirmation. I live by faith in the Son of God. That's what it says. It's that one part. Now that's abiding in Christ. I live by faith in the Son of God. And you know the Psalms, they're terrific there. Looking at Psalm 46:10, I'll see if I can find out my new Bible here. How do you like that? I'm learning to use an index here on the page. Be still and know that I am God. That's a good way to start the day. Abiding in Christ. Be still and know that He's our Lord. He's the boss. And I'm going to live today by faith in the Son of God. He's the vine, I'm a branch. He's the power plant, I'm a transmission line. Then it says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I sometimes think that I get thinking that somehow that the Lord is in his holy office. I will check in each morning, get my directions for the day. Then I'll go out on my own and I'll do that. And maybe I'll check in for a moment or two at night before I go to sleep. Now that's a whole lot better than not checking in at all. But the Christian life is better than that. I not only check in the morning, it says he is with me. He goes with me all day long. In fact, he's in me all day long. That's better still. And, you know, sometimes your quiet time gets squeezed up for one reason or another. I like to do this. After I've taken a moment or two just to worship the Lord, maybe from a psalm, or just this affirmation, I live by faith in the Son of God, just to take about 2 or 3 minutes and pray through the day forwards. The people you know you're going to meet, the appointments that you have, the schedules you have, and that way, if it does get condensed that morning, at least you're covered for the day. Okay, that's the first step. Now, and this could be another little formula for your quiet time. So, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you. Now, I think that's a Colossians 3:16 kind of thing. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, as you start 1984, do you have a plan, some kind of an organized or regular plan for getting into the word? Maybe it's a daily walk. Or something you have from your Sunday school class, or something else. If you don't, you know how it just takes a lot of time in the morning trying to figure out what to do. And you can waste the time that you had set aside trying to figure out where to read. So it's good to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, you ought to decide on one before you leave. Now the daily walk, or some call it the daily jog, is, you know, that's a terrific plan. But have a plan. Then, back to John 15:7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's prayer. Now, I know that we have to make a lot of emphasis on the fact that we need to listen. Now, after you've spent a little time in the Word, here's my problem. I use up all my time getting through the daily walk or whatever, and I haven't said anything. So last year, my verse for the year, and I think I should carry it over as a secondary one for this year, Psalm 5:3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. And one of the things I ask myself, have I said anything? I've read, I've thought, I've meditated, I've even schemed to try to figure out a problem. I may stop and work something out. But have I actually said anything to the Lord? My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. And it might not hurt to set yourself a little goal that I'm going to at least talk to him for 5 minutes or 10 or whatever fits your stage of growth. Do you say anything? Have you asked for anything? Well, by the way, I'll show you what the rest of this is in case you haven't seen it. Here's fellowship. We all need fellowship. We need the reinforcement of someone else. And there's so many different ideas of what fellowship is, all the way from, you know, a cup of coffee to a Dunkin' Donut, you know, to a night of prayer. Well, what helps me to see that the essence of New Testament fellowship is illustrated right here. If two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. I should leave this out. Fellowship is focused in Jesus Christ, right? Then Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. It's the idea of a few Christians sitting together in a little group sharing with one another. And then if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So you have here in John 15:7 are these vertical spokes, the essence of what true Christian fellowship is. Now in this little band, whether it's two people or a dozen, having helped and encouraged one another, begin to focus outward, then that group becomes a band. And there's your outreach by life and by lip, your witness. So those are, and the basics are always the basic. Whether you're a new Christian or the Apostle Paul, the basics are the basics. Okay. John 15:7. Fruitful branches. Now, do you have your notes there from the conference? Take a little time right now, and I'm running just a little behind. I wanted to give you a little more time in the groups. Start at the beginning and sort of just run your eyes down there. And in the margin, if there's something that you feel as, if you haven't done this already, you want to do or apply, just write the word do, apply. And don't get too many. I think 3 to 5 would be probably enough. And highlight them. And if you don't have your notes with you, why, in your own mind, just sort of mentally run through what Dick has said. That would take a little while, wouldn't it? What Ron Blue had to share. What you picked up in your workshops. And just highlight 3 or 5 things, 3 to 5, that you're going to do, you're going to apply. That might have to do with the lowlights of the conference. And we're not so interested you make up something there, is that there's something that's in your mind, that, boy, if they just would do this, something that's come to your mind, you say, well, this would really be helpful. That's what we want you to put down there. And then 3, do you have any thoughts as to a speaker for a future conference? And then 4 should be easy. If there's something you feel you could share on here, we don't want your name on this piece of paper, but give us a little idea of that which seems to help people most is what why we'd like to have you put something on 4. Just one of these applications that you thought through. Give us a little idea of what seems to meet needs most. Anyone who's not finished with that page, why don't you just pass them to the central aisle, please, and we'll gather those up right now You want to get those for us, Lauren, please? We appreciate you very much. You're doing this. Very helpful. We want to scratch where we all itch. Or most of us itch, anyway. Okay, Lauren tells me that we can have lunch at 12. Why don't you, is this a sit-down lunch today, or is this a buffet?
Come as you get done with your prayer.
Okay. I think it would be well with your groups, try to break up in time so at least you're down there by 12. But that gives a little extra time. Is there any question now that anyone has before we now split into these groups? And this will be a time of sharing with one another, which, and it helps to seal and sort of make that commitment of what God has said to you by sharing with each other. This is more of a sharing than a prayer time. To give us opportunity to express.